Hour number deuce here. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that, The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com. The Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. If you missed Dirt and Sprague, the Fan Bam's back together again. You can download that wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't catch Primetime or Happy Hour Live, get that wherever you get yours. If you can't wait for Casey to get hour number one up from this program, it's only like 15 minutes. Calm yourself. He'll get it up as quick as he can. But if you can't wait, I don't blame you. It was good stuff. Go back on YouTube or the Odyssey app, rewind, fast forward, except for in the future, for that would be impossible. A lot of MLS to get to this hour. Nate Bucati will join us here in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk the game tonight against San Diego, and then I will share with you an interview Jake Zivin and I did with Marty Cifuentes on Timbers Fan yesterday. But let's kind of get into this. A little bit of Jason, but more about the city of Portland. As you can see, for those of you listening in Radio Land, thank you, appreciate it, welcome. Happy to have you along. The board behind me now sits at 18 days. We're almost in 20. I'm very excited about that, hitting into the 20 soon. So that's really cool. Thank you.
Little victory.
It was hard work. You know, I got good sleep. I ate my vegetables, took my Flintstone vitamins. We made it here to 18 days. But something that is always curious, and Marty Cifuentes was introduced as the new Timbers manager officially yesterday, despite being on the sidelines for a couple games. And Merritt Paulson spoke, and GM Ned Grabovoi spoke. And I've been curious myself. I haven't seen Merritt in a little while, so I haven't had the chance to ask him. But I've been very curious. When you are a sports owner in a city, I would think that you should at least try to have a relationship with other sports owners, okay? Especially if you're the Timbers. You want to have a good relationship with the Thorns. You share a building together. Mm-hmm. I know Merritt used to own them, but he doesn't anymore. You want to have a good relationship with them. Whether it's the Winterhawks or the Pickles or the Hillsboro Hops or the Portland Trailblazers, I would want to know how they operate and see if I can learn something from them and if they can learn something from me. But this is Merritt Paulson on his thoughts on the Blazers in Portland.
Yeah, I have thoughts. First of all, the Blazers can't move. I mean, they are massively critical to the culture and the economic vitality of the city of Portland. End stop. Period. You know, that's first and foremost. Secondly, when you buy a team, you're not just investing in a league, you're not just investing in a franchise, you're investing in the city, you're investing in a community. And that's essential. I don't care, look, I'm local, right? I in a perfect world, you live where you own a team, in my opinion. It doesn't always need to be that way. My kids were born and bred here. You know, they're native Oregonians. I moved here in 2007. I felt that was important. Everybody doesn't need to do that. But, you know, we've got a 100-year-old stadium, as you said, and we've put in $145 million of private money into renovations, and it still needs a lot more work. So that's not a criticism of anything, but all that said, look, I'm a believer in Portland long-term. I continue to be a believer in Portland long-term. But this needs to be a wake-up call for the county, in the city, in the state, to make this region a region that's attractive to invest in, a region where businesses, small, medium, and the very few large businesses we even have here, that can succeed and do well. So I guess those would be my thoughts.
That's Merritt Paulson, and you know what? He's not wrong. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, he's talking about everything we've been screaming about for the last 6 months in this whole ordeal. And there's something that I give Mayor a lot of credit for. And that is what he's talking about. He lives in this city. He really cares about Portland. And I know that Timbers fans over the years have had some issues with Merritt. Merritt stepped in it a couple times, mm-hmm. and he's been working really hard to kind of clean himself up from that. But there is no denying that if you are a Timbers fan, Merritt's been on your side the entire time. He has helped build Soccer City USA. He's made the Timbers into a viable MLS franchise, and he's looking across the river, literally, and saying, this should be the same here for the Portland Trailblazers. One of the coolest things about the Portland Timbers is they're not LAFC. They're not Inter Miami. It's not NYFC, okay? It's not the Chicago Fire. They're not a huge market team, but they are one of the top five jobs you can have in the league. They're one of the top five teams you can have in the league. This team's been to three MLS Cups in the last 11 years.
Again, listen to all the guests that we've had on this show mm-hmm. just come in and say how important the fan base is in Providence Park.
I love
how important the Timbers yep. Army is just to the nature of the game.
I love to give Nate Bucchetti, who's going to join us here in about 5 minutes or so, I love to give him grief because he's a Kansas City guy. They claim to be Soccer City, and we love to go to blows about it because we love to fight each other. But we both recognize that Kansas City is a great city, just like he recognized Portland's a great city. And I think there's no reason that the Blazers can't be the same thing, okay? You're not the Lakers. You're not the Celtics. You're not the Knicks. You don't have the advantages of the Miami Heat in Florida or the Dallas Mavericks in Texas. But you can, by investing in the city, by showing how much you love, you can make this a destination that athletes will want to go to, coaches will want to coach at, and a lot of that falls on Dad. Tom Dundon's got to figure that out. But to Merritt Paulson's point, Tom doesn't have to live here. Yep. He doesn't have to be Portland, yeehaw, gung-ho.
He says, in a perfect world, it doesn't have to necessarily be that way, but the goal is, and I felt like his comments were aimed in two directions. One was towards the city, and one was towards Tom Dundon. Mm-hmm. Tom Dundon, work with the city. That's the point of buying a franchise, is not only are you investing in the team and the infrastructure of the team, you're investing in the city and everything around it.
That's how I took it as well.
But then he also kind of aims it at the city councilors and say, we need to make it so businesses small, medium, and large are attracted to come to this area. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. Not only are you kind of going, hey, Tom, let's play some ball here. Also, city council and the city of Portland, let's figure stuff out because something's got to give.
That's exactly how I took it. I took it like city, figure stuff out. And Tom, there's a path for you. I didn't think he was calling him out. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was being a jerk or anything like that. But he kind of saying, Tom, there's a path. You know, again, like I've said, you know, some Timbers fans have some issues with Merritt Paulson. And those have been documented. We don't need to go through those. But if there's one thing that I know about Merritt Paulson, I don't know him very well personally. But if there's one thing I know about Merritt is he gives a D. And that's the first step.
And that's attractive for a fan base, is having an owner that cares and is willing to invest not only just in the team, but in the city as well.
Yeah. What's the biggest name DP the Timbers have ever had? It ain't Robert Lewandowski. Mm-hmm. It's not Sun Heung-min. It's not Leo Messi. Yet this team is able to still continue to compete and compete and compete.
I'll say probably the biggest name is a guy that's probably still on the roster.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
If it's not Valeri, it's the other Diego. It's,
yeah. So, like, there's a path. And I think that's a really important thing to be sharing with people, is that you don't have to be big money market. You don't even have to be big money owner. You know, Merritt's not filthy rich. He's not the richest owner in the MLS, but he gives a damn. And this town sees that. And that's why we have the best soccer fans in all of MLS. Well, let's have that debate with our new buddy who's about to show up, Nate Bucchetti. I've had him on Timbers Fan before. Awesome guy based out of Kansas City for MLS Apple TV. He'll be on the call tonight for television as the Timbers will host San Diego FC. Pre-game coverage starts right here on The Fan following primetime at 6:30. Adam Sussman, Aaron Heitz, and Fletcher Johnson kick at 7:30. Nate Bucchetti is next. 105.1 The Fan. Well, let's bring on the Timbers will take on San Diego FC tonight live from the park just up the road from here. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Kick at 7:30 should you choose your television viewing on Apple TV. Let's bring in Nate Bucchetti. He'll be on the call tonight. Nate, how you doing? Last time I chatted with you, Jake Zivin and I had you on our Timbers-specific show, but you're in the big time now, amigo.
Hey, let's go, Patrick. It's good to talk to you again, man. I remember that conversation fondly.
Yeah, I was already giving you grief last segment about Kansas City and Portland's fight on who's Soccer City USA, but we'll keep it civil here, okay? We won't get into that fight again.
Well, let's just put it this way: there's no doubt Portland is Soccer City USA. Kansas City is the soccer capital of America. Ooh. They each get their own titles, and we all are happy. Does that work?
That works.
Make everybody happy or no?
That works. We'll call it a truce. At that. Well, let's get into this Portland Timbers team as you're coming into town to call the game. A very different squad than the last time we chatted. I think the last time we chatted was before that Kansas City game. Look, Kansas City's had their struggles. We don't need to get into that, but the Timbers won that game 6-0. But a bunch of before that, after that, just kind of a little discombobulated mess. But since the change in administration, whether it was Jack Cassidy in the interim or now Marty Cifuentes, what have you seen about this team in making such a huge pivot?
Well, obviously the coaching change with Phil Neville being out is the biggest story, right, of the year. And as you mentioned, there was that stretch of an interim manager who seemed to get the best out of the team Everybody was working hard, rowing in the right direction and getting results. And now we have a very short window to see how things are going to look under Marty Cifuentes. I do think we got some pretty decent indications, and he's pretty clear about his idea of how they want to go about their business and play games. But let's be honest, it's not the most ideal timing for a person to come in and try to implement a new system for a team when you have such a short amount of time between games. You don't really have any opportunities for on-field training to implement the system that you want to play. He said himself that it's all through film study and basically going over things in the classroom. So I think it's going to take a while to see this team really gel and start to play in the image that Marty Cifuentes has in his mind for the team. But that doesn't mean they still can't crank out some results. I think also, though, during this stretch, we're seeing that everybody's getting tested for depth. You know, how much can you rotate your squad? And that's obviously a challenge for Portland as well. So I think they're playing well. I know they don't like the way they're starting games. That seems to have transcended, no matter who the manager is, it seems to be an issue for the team right now that they're trying to sort through. But overall, I think a team that's been playing better since, you know, they moved on from Phil Neville, and now we get to see how much can they really fully incorporate what Cifuentes wants them to do through the rest of this season.
Yeah, I've spoke with some players, and just the concept of three managers in a season has just got to be a wild situation. Let's stick with that as a new manager comes in. Now, I know we're kind of spitballing here and kind of just theorizing, but is there enough time left in the season for this team to, I don't think anybody has MLS Cup aspirations, but maybe get into the playoffs and win a round? Or are we looking maybe post-sprint season, even that, for Marty to really get his grips on this team?
It's a fantastic question. But if you look at the table, they're 1 point off the playoff pace right now. So you have to be thinking playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the intriguing things about this matchup tonight is you're talking about two teams that are both 1 point below the playoff line. So there's so much time left still in this season that anything's possible. And I don't see how you could write that off as a goal. Now, like you said, how far could they go in the playoffs? That's probably a different conversation. Maybe you take it one game at a time from that standpoint. But it's, I think, a team they feel like all along has been capable of better results than what they were getting earlier in the season. I think they showed that since the managerial change. And that means that they've got a chance. Now, how quickly can they be exactly what Cifuentes wants them to be? I can't give you the answer to that question. But I do think you can already start to see a little bit more of a clear picture, I guess, of what types of responsibilities players are supposed to have with and without the ball and things like that. I know there was a big mistake, you know, early in the game that led to that easy goal for Robin Ludd. That's probably something you're going to see for a little bit, right? As they have to rotate the squad and don't get the time to go out there and train. But I don't see why they can't at least, you know, hold the fort down well enough in this time to keep themselves in the hunt for the playoffs.
He's Nate Buchady, Apple TV, MLS. I want to stick with probably the big shining moment of the team this year, at least offensively, has been Kevin Kelce. A lot of rumors swirling around. He could get moved. He could get sold. We don't need to get into that kind of speculation. But the forward position seemed, the striker specifically, seems to be kind of a low, not a lot of depth there. Gage Guerra has been in and out of injuries throughout the year, and Felipe Mora no longer on the team. Obviously, Vincent Janssen comes in. When you look at those kind of situations where a guy could get moved or couldn't get moved, and you are on the precipice of maybe really turning your season around, is it worth trying to hold on to that player, or do you just strike when the iron's hot if that's the best money and you move it then?
Yeah, boy, there are so many different factors that you have to consider, right? I don't think, from what I understand, and I'm just listening to the people that are much more informed on the transfer market than I am, the Tom Bogerts of the world and guys like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like Portland are keen to move him on. They'd like to keep him around. You have to factor in, what does the player want, right? If you have a player that doesn't want to be there, that changes the calculus a little bit. And I don't know what the situation is with Kelce in that regard. I know he's been a player that hasn't had a sustained run at any one club for a long period of time, right? He was with Cincinnati for a short period of time. He was in Shakhtar Donetsk for a short period of time. And, you know, maybe that's something that could be attractive to him. Now, at the same time, if you're trying to sell him with stability, he's had three managers this year, right? So that doesn't probably feel like a lot of stability, but maybe if he and Cifuentes can connect and and click, that changes the way that he feels about it. I don't know. And again, I don't have any idea what his thoughts are on the whole matter, but these are the types of things you have to factor in. What can you get for him? Does he want to stay? And do you have a place or replacement lined up? Mm-hmm. You know, is there enough time for you in the transfer window to make a corresponding move that gets you where you want to go? Somebody that maybe Cifuentes has his eye on that plays the way that he wants to play. And obviously those things are all above my pay grade, things that I don't know the answers to, but it does make it kind of a complicated time. And I don't know, just a little aside for you, I think one of the reasons we're all kind of excited to see Major League Soccer get on the same calendar as everybody else. Mm-hmm. So these moves are more likely to occur between seasons, not in the middle of season, which is just such a difficult thing to, I mean, look at Vancouver. You know, you're selling Sebastian Berhalter when you've got a chance to go win an MLS Cup.
Broke my heart.
Not exactly the ideal situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hated that situation for them mostly because despite Vancouver being a rival of the Portland Timbers, I thought Berhalter is a really up-and-coming star and did make Vancouver look pretty good. I agree with you on that. Let's turn our eyes on to San Diego FC. Playoff team last year, knocked the Timbers out. Last year, famously in the playoffs, in a really brutal game here in Portland. It was pouring rain that day. I don't know if you remember that. That's not important. But San Diego FC kind of taking a step back this year and a little bit of struggles. They did lose at home to the Timbers earlier in the year, 2-1. Talk to me about this team and what you see from them that they do well, or let me know why they're struggling.
Well, and they're playing better of late. I think that's the first thing that you have to point out when you talk about this San Diego team. They got a couple of wins in Leagues Cup, which, you know, that's not necessarily so important. But if you look at all competitions, they're three wins in a row. They're playing better. And they're playing better, I think, three matches unbeaten in MLS play as well, if I remember correctly. They just grinded out a 1-0 win over LAFC. You could say maybe they got a little fortunate. Sun Heung-min had a couple of chances to score in that game and didn't. Then they got a handball, San Diego, at the end of the game. But here's one of the big storylines from that game. They get the handball, and their best player, you know, the runner-up for MLS MVP last year, Anders Dreyer, converts the penalty in the 89th minute and takes his shirt off in celebration and gets a yellow card. And maybe that's not a big deal. It's the 89th minute. Well, as they're trying to see the game out and hold on to the lead in the 97th minute, he has to commit a foul to stop a promising opportunity and gets a second yellow card and is now suspended for this game. So that's a big storyline. I mean, that's a big miss for San Diego coming into this game. When I talked to Mike Ibarra, he used the phrase and said, you know, in Spanish they say that this is when you need to cambiar el chip, change the chip, like the computer chip, because – everybody's kind of hit a reset button of some sort during the summer break, right? We know with Portland, it was a managerial change more than anything. San Diego, Chucky Lozano is now gone. Of course, he didn't feature with the team at all this year, but just having that situation, you know, off of your mind, I think is a huge key for them. And they've brought in Elias Achouri, a Tunisian striker who's a designated player. He's starting to get some minutes, so I think they're hoping that that will help them in the attack. But they're a side that I think more than anything, look, when you look at this matchup, here's what I think is interesting, Patrick, is that I don't love to get obsessed with possession numbers. Some people seem to think that if you have more of the ball, that means you dominated the game, and there's a lot of other stories. But when it comes to this game, I think it is an interesting storyline because San Diego, they lead MLS in possession. It's part of their game model. They want to knock the ball around. They want to make you chase. They want to dictate the terms of the game. A lot of times, issue to a fault where it seems like they have possession without a purpose, and they just kind of pass the ball around without many ideas. But they will have possession. We know Cifuentes wants to have possession, right? I think 62% of the ball against Chicago. Now, that number is a little skewed by the fact that you fell behind early in the game, and Chicago is probably happy to sit back. But how does Cifuentes want to handle this one? Mm-hmm. Do you try to go toe-to-toe and win that possession battle against San Diego? Or are you a little more pragmatic, and do you rotate your squad and say, you know what, I don't have the team playing the system I want to play just yet. And San Diego, they're great at possessing the ball. Let's sit back and try to hit them on the counter. And here's one stat for you. San Diego, according to the MLS statistics, have not scored a counterattack goal all season long.
Oh, wow.
That's not how they play.
And I feel like that's kind of a weakness of this Timbers team a little bit, is that counterplay.
So, you know, that's going to be a really interesting, you know, I think that's an interesting dynamic in this game as well. And I think we got to see how much both coaches rotate their squads after, you know, what's been a really, really tough stretch of games playing in League's Cup and then having a game over the weekend as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Nate Bucati, MLS, Apple TV. A couple things before I get you out of here. You are a Kansas City guy. Are you guys trying to steal our Portland Trailblazers?
I don't know anything about that. I would tell you I wouldn't worry about it people from Kansas City might be mad at me for saying this. I don't see where there's enough corporate money in Kansas City to support another pro sports organization. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But they've already got the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting Kansas City, and the current, you know, it's market 33. Are they really? Are the Trailblazers thinking about moving?
Well, it's just a bunch of drama around here with new ownership. He fired a bunch of people, wants money to renovate the stadium. It's a long, dramatic thing, but everybody's kind of looking at, well, where could he move? And Kansas City tends to pop up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a swell of people that are trying to always bring an NHL team or an NBA team to Kansas City, and there's always a debate about whether or not economically it would work. Now they're. The Longs that own the current are trying to bring a WNBA team to town. Kansas City's a great sports town. I mean, it was like by far and away the number one television market for the World Cup. You know, we love our sports in Kansas City, but there's only so much money to go around. So I would be surprised if that happened, but what do I know?
Well, Nate, let's get you out of here on this. I don't know the last time you were in Portland. I always love asking our guests when they come to Portland because we love this city so much. Some things you love to do around town, things you like to get into if you got a little extra time.
I love the city of Portland, and I wish I got to come out here more often. This is my first trip here, and I didn't get to come out here at all last year. And when I got my schedule and found out that I had a Portland game, I was super excited. I've got another one coming up later this season that I'm really excited about. I think it's a beautiful town. Yesterday I walked along the river and had lunch at that spot that's like right there on the river. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name of it. It was a seafood spot at a hotel. It was really nice. I had dinner with John Strong last night, Ooh. Who was one of my mentors and one of my favorite broadcasters and human beings. So that was cool. I got to see his, you know, part of town that he lives in. And that was a part of town I'd never been to before. I went to the Adidas store and stocked up on some Adidas gear. What I've always wanted to do that I've never done here, because like the thing that's so beautiful about Portland too is you can daydream of like just going up into the forest and going for a hike.
Yep.
You know, it's not that far away. And I really want to go to Astoria someday because I'm an absolute, I just love the movie, The Goonies, you know, that was a movie from when I was a kid and it looks amazing. So I've always wanted to do stuff like that, but I've never really explored outside because, you know, we get here the day before and so we stay downtown. And so I just have a tendency to tool around and check out different restaurants and places like that. And then, this is going to sound like pandering, but going to the game is my favorite part because I think this is easily one of the best atmospheres in all of Major League Soccer, if not the best. I think you can make a very strong case it's the best atmosphere. And I love the stadium. I love the location. The fan base is incredible. You always know there's going to be energy here. Like going to the Timbers games is my favorite part of coming to the city.
Well, at some point, maybe I'll show you around my town if we get some extra time.
Would you please? I love that stuff, man. I love going to places I've never been before, you know, going to restaurants, seeing things that I haven't seen. So you got to give me, and you can go online and do all the research you want. It's the people that live in town that know where the best spots are, you know?
You got it, brother. That's Nate Bucati, MLS, Apple TV. He'll be on the call tonight for the Timbers as they take on San Diego FC. I'll be at the park tonight. I'll come say hi. If you see a short guy with weird glasses, that's me, amigo. I'll come say hi.
You just described me, too, so we might be doing that Spider-Man thing, you know, where we're looking at, hey, you?
Pointing right, at cool. each other? That's great. Yeah. Have a good call, amigo. I'll see you tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. That's Nate Bucati, MLS Apple TV on the call tonight. Of course, you can catch it right here on the Fan Sports Network, your home of the Portland Timbers. Pregame at 6:30, kick at 7:30. I sat down with Marty Cifuentes yesterday with Jake Salmon with conversation with the new manager. We'll have that for you next. There's Casey with sports. Big thanks to Nate Bucati for jumping on the show. You can catch him on the call tonight, or you can do what I do and listen to the program on the radio here. Fletcher Johnson, Aaron Heinsohn will have the call for you. Adam Sussman, pregame, postgame, and halftime as well. Jake Zivin and I do Timbers Fan every single Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Yesterday, we sat down with new manager Marty Cifuentes, and we have that interview for you right now. New manager Marty Cifuentes is joining us right now. And Marty, thanks for hopping on with us. I do have something that I want to kind of get into right away with you. We had this conversation during the Tijuana game because we hadn't seen you on the touchline. So my thought was, is it going to be a tracksuit? Is it athleisure? Is he going to wear a suit? Because I'm a suit guy. And then I saw a little bit of a sweater. But Chicago the other day, you were full suit. Tell me I'm going to get suit for the rest of the season.
If I take the result, the score from Chicago, probably I don't want to see a suit ever again. But said that, it depends a little bit on my mood. It depends. I like to wear a suit. I like to be a little bit more casual. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens in the next game.
Well, it looks good to me. So results be darned. I think you look fantastic in it. I know there's been a lot going on, and we'll get to the football, soccer side of it and everything. Have you had a chance? We always love to ask our guests about the city of Portland and any of their experiences. I know it hasn't been long, but is there anything you've seen about the city outside of the Timbers that you've started to enjoy?
Definitely, definitely. So I think that it's not a big secret that I came weeks ago to meet the people in the club, to get to know the city. So it was just a few days, but I came to just trying to understand what is the culture here. Because for me, it's very important, not just to, okay, what is in the club, but as well where I'm going to live and if I feel connected to this or not. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the downtown. I really enjoy different neighborhoods. I'm trying now to get to know more. At the moment now, I'm very close to the training facility in Beaverton, but I've been around the lake. I've been visiting in the few gaps of free time that we had, try to learn more. But I'm excited because I know how beautiful it is. And yeah, I know that the nature, the landscape is amazing. So looking forward to know more.
Marty, you've spoken about this before, but for our listeners that maybe haven't heard from you yet, why now for the move to Portland, the move to the United States, to Major League Soccer? You spent time in Scandinavia and England, and why was this the time for you to come over to take this job?
Look, in a very honest way, it's because that's the place where I wanted to be. From all the options we had, and luckily enough, since last February, we had different options, and during the summer, obviously, some things came up. For me, it was very important to understand the project because I'm someone as a coach that I do believe that my best experiences, my best years as a coach have been always when I've been able to get the support to build something, which I think it's extremely underrated in football nowadays. But it takes time. And in that sense, I felt like what Merritt has done, what this club has been since the foundation. I'm not talking about 1975, but I'm talking about since the MLS times. That shows that it has been extremely stable, and I felt excited about the project. I really like the identity that they are building. I like the squad of players, the roster, and the fact that the atmosphere in the stadium is probably the best in the country. That this is the soccer city in the States, plus the fact that the MLS, it's just growing and growing. I felt very excited, and that's why we are here.
You clearly are, very knowledgeable about the Portland Timbers, about soccer in this city, and the history of it, right? What was that process for you? How, when this opportunity came up, was it research? Was it, what was the process of getting to know Portland, getting to know the Timbers? And then when you took the job, getting to know the team and getting to know the players that you were now going to be the coach of?
I mean, it's a bit of, very personal experience. But the first World Cup that I remember, I was a kid, so I still remember the Italy 90s. But the first, main World Cup that I remember watching all the games was the States 94. Mm. And from there, I remember then the MLS was founded, and then in 95, 96 is when the league started. It was just that summer that I went for first time to States. So I spent some time actually visiting Texas, but I was always curious about the MLS since the times of Valderrama. We had Stoikov that was playing at Barcelona many years, and then he went to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I felt always very curious about the league, and definitely the growth that and the improvement in all senses, from the stadiums, from the level of players, from the quality of the games. I think that everything over the last years has just improved and improved. But I've been always very curious about understanding the league. Then I have some friends working in the MLS, some of them for years, and all of them spoke highly. And yeah, they gave me a lot of tips to understand the league. And at the end, all of it made me feel that it was an easy decision and that we are very pleased and honored to be part of this.
We're talking to new Timbers manager, Marti Cifuentes. Positive victory against Tijuana. Not the most positive situation against Chicago. For our listeners, as we're starting to learn you and grow, one thing you'll learn, this city is very passionate. We get a lot of our feelings, and we like to get to know. We feel like Diego Chara is our older brother that's been with us our entire life. So as we get to know you, let's talk a little football. Let's talk soccer. What, in your opinion, talk to us about your philosophy, what you want to instill in this team, the style of play you like to see, and what we can expect to see on the pitch.
Well, born in Barcelona, grew in Barcelona. I was a kid when Johan Cruyff took over Barcelona, and it was what we call the dream team. So I'm very influenced by that philosophy. So I want my teams to attack. I want my teams to keep chasing scoring goals, no matter is the situation. So even if you're leading 3-0, I would like my team to keep trying to score the fourth. I'm not a coach. I never thought in my career, in 20 years, plus 20 years, I never asked my team to try to get a draw because we play away or because of the situation. For me, it's always about winning. And to do that, I like my teams to keep the possession with a purpose. The purpose is to create chances, to dominate the game. I like my teams to press, to try to regain the ball as quick, as high as we can. And I like my teams to have a sense of positional meaning in the game. So I do believe that if the players understand that by being in certain positions, it's easier to create chances and it's easier to keep the ball and it's easier to defend. And the different structures, different formations, that's probably the main idea of my philosophy. But it's very connected as well to the fact that I've been a fan of football all my life. So I want, hopefully, and especially in a passionate city as Portland is with the team, I want the fans to enjoy what we do. So for me, we have a responsibility as well to play a positive football that they can enjoy.
I know it's been a short time. What have you seen in this time that is the best thing about this team so far in terms of quality? And what's something maybe you want to work on a little more specifically?
I said from day one, I think the potential of the team is big. There is a lot of players. There is a great combination. Now you mentioned Diego Chara, that obviously is a legend. And it's incredible what he's doing at his age, the way he competes, the way he influences the rest of the team is extremely positive. But I think there is a good balance in between certain experienced players with other youngers like Finn, I could say many of them that are Kevin, that they have really high ceiling, in my opinion. So if we can have a good mix on that, the potential of the team is very big. Things that we need to improve, probably many. I'm one that I'm very demanding, especially with myself. But we want to try to have high standards for the team, and that's been the message that we sent to the guys from day one. So probably one of the main things that we need to improve right away, you could see yesterday in Chicago, we need to make sure that we start the games stronger, that we cannot concede. Even against Tijuana, the first 10 minutes, in my opinion, were quite good. We concede first, and we cannot put ourselves in a situation that we need to score every game 3-4 goals to win a football game. So we need to be better defensively. We need to have more clean sheets, and we need to start the game stronger.
You mentioned your ideas of football, how you want your team to play. How do you communicate those ideas to a team that you take over in the middle of a season? And you know, you've done it several times in your career, and you have games every 3 days. You don't have a lot of 4 days. You don't have a lot of time on the training field. So how do you get your ideas across and implemented as soon as possible?
Yeah, it's a process. As you said, I've been lucky enough to experience that four different countries, actually. That's the fifth time now. So hopefully that gives me some experience and some confidence that we're going to make it again. It's true that this time has been the most extreme one in terms of we had almost no time to work with the team on the pitch because we arrived 2 days before the Tijuana game. It was a recovery practice. Most of the guys stay in the gym to do recovery treatment. And then we had just a one light session because that's what you can do before a game. football for the people that is not experts in terms of training and so on is very different than other sports. Even if you want, you cannot spend a lot of time on the pitch because then it will be no energy, the players will get injured. So you need to work a lot on recovery, getting the energy back, and then compete in such a short space of time. So that was the same to go to Chicago. We finished the game against Tijuana quite late in the night. Then we met the guys in the morning. We had an analysis, brief analysis of the game, what were the main targets, things that we had to improve to get some fresh legs, to do some treatment, and then travel to Chicago the day after and have a very light session in Chicago. Extreme humidity, -1, coming from a 4 hours flight trip. So these are the kind of challenges that you need to sort as a manager. And then again, no excuse at all. We need to be better at everything that we do, and I'm sure that we're going to be much better in the next game.
I want to give you the opportunity. Wednesday will be your first home game in an MLS. I know we had Tijuana, a little bit of a different crowd. You'll truly get to see a home crowd in person on Wednesday. Timbers Army, the Timber Faithful, as you said it, the best soccer fans in America, Soccer City USA. I'll give you the floor. Anything you want to say to the Army and the listeners out there who we have high expectations of you, amigo, and I mean that in the best way possible. What would you say to this fan base?
No, first of all, that it's an honor to hopefully represent you in the best way. I'm so excited to play with your support and the support of the Timbers Army because I've seen a lot of videos. I heard a lot of things already. And I'm looking forward to hear them from minute one, as I sure they will, supporting the team. I like the high expectations, so I like the positive pressure. Believe me that we're going to be there for them, and hopefully we're going to get the results. What I can assure is that we're going to put all our effort to make sure that this club is successful and that they feel proud of the way we play, of those players, the way we represent the city, I would say, as well, around the country. That's for sure.
Do you like beer and or coffee?
I'm not a great beer drinker, to be honest. I do drink coffee. I do drink some cortado, Spanish cortado.
Yes, you will.
But I'm trying to learn about the Americano as well.
You will fit in just well. This is a great coffee city as well. Marty Cifuentes, the new manager of the Portland Timbers, thank you for joining us, my friend. I'm sure we'll catch up down the road, and we'll see you Wednesday at the park.
Thank you very much. See you on Wednesday.
That was Marty Cifuentes. Sat down with me and Jake Zivin yesterday on Timbers Fan. We do that show every single Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Go check that out if you want to catch the whole thing wherever you get your podcasts, including 1051thefan.com. We come back. We'll get back on the clock. 1051 The Fan. Not enough time to get into Web Gems. We got to jump back on the clock. Went a little long there with Marty Cifuentes. If you want to catch more of that episode, you can always find that. Timbers.com, 1051thefan.com. Timbers Fan every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. A little nice jump back into the MLS conversation with Jake Zivin and I. Coming up in the big nooner, we'll get back into a little bit more baseball and an update on Mark Walters and the situation going on in L.A., how that affects the Lakers and the Dodgers, the newest on that as well. Big Nooner is next. 1051 The Fan, the Fan Sports Network.